Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Share your question or comments using the live chat feature on our website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Again, that's www.allaboutwinebtr.com. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
All right.
The one and only.
Thank you.
Wow.
Underneath the weather tent out there cheering and drinking wine.
Yes. We've had some weather. We have had some rain. Mm-hmm.
Thunder, just, I mean,
thunder,
wow. Storm.
Terrible.
It's awesome. Terrible stuff.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we've been dry for a while, and, you know, finally it's making up for it now. But,
right.
Man, you know, anything other than rain, just keep it. But we love the rain here for sure.
Yeah.
In the summertime, and it's expected.
But it's just lightning and thunder and all that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. You can't count on it. We usually get our afternoon patterns. I mean, Florida does an afternoon rainstorm. Starts in the middle of the state, works its way toward the coast by the evening, and that's the standard. We can count on that. But I'll tell you, this past week, it's been morning and night and afternoon and evening and just all time.
Yeah.
And
lots of fun.
But it's not filling up everything completely full, though. I mean, all the ponds and lakes and moats and everything were all low, and so it's bringing them up,
yeah.
But it's not the overflow. So it's a good thing or something we need.
Mm-hmm.
So, welcome to All About
Definitely.
Wine.
Yay. Woohoo.
Yay. Another exciting episode of All About Wine tonight. When I tuned in, when I signed in, it wouldn't get me to studio. I had to confirm that I was who I was. Which
wow.
Was awesome. I know.
You had to show the receptionist your ID, I guess.
My ID, and do the eye print, you know, the retinal scan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even that far. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. It was. Then they finally let me in. It was tough getting in tonight for some reason.
You must have gotten it easy, because when I come in, I mean, they just ask for your ID in a retinal exam. When I come in, I have to do like a complete physical. I mean, they're checking for hernias. You know?
because you take pictures of weather screens. That's why.
you had to do that's a good one. Yes, I'm on the do not fly list or whatever it's called now.
Everybody's out there going, what are they talking about? Mike had himself a wonderful tour of the Orlando control tower and airport and all that, and he was told not to take pictures, and he took a picture of a weather screen, the type that you can pull up on the computer, and he got in trouble for it. So
I still stayed on the tour, though. I mean, it was okay, but the main, I don't know if he was an FAA boss, but the boss of the Orlando International Airport Tower and Tracon there, where we were toured, he kind of called me out. So, but
I'm
still here.
That's why he got spit search, because of taking pictures.
Take them lately when they say do not take photos. Well, they said don't take photos in the tower, don't take photos of the radar, which I couldn't take a photo in the Tracon anyway, because it's all dark. I told you.
I
this is in the hallway. I'm like, okay, this is this is public domain out here. Anybody could, well, almost. But, you know, so I just click, whatever. Yeah, big mistake.
So that was bad.
Had to take a timeout, and then I was on the tour. So there we go. But great bunch of people. If you're interested in that kind of thing, they do welcome people to come in. And I said, so I could come in, you know, by myself or with somebody to go, give us a call and we'll make, you know, we'll see what our time schedule is and all that. And I said, psh, I'm off on Thursdays and Fridays. I'll be there both days every week for the rest of my life. Are you kidding me? That's so cool.
Yeah, that is cool. What they said, it can happen in the airport. So if any of you out there are looking for something to do besides drink wine, then contact your local airport and ask for a tour of the tower and all that stuff. And
It was awesome. Yeah, it was a great deal. A school kid, they love little children's groups to get them interested in it, it was very interesting. So if you're into that kind of thing,
definitely. You know, keep in mind you're looking for something. So good.
Yep.
Thank you. So welcome to All About Wine and anything else we decide to talk about. We have a few things to talk. I saw something that was pretty funny. I thought it was funny. It was a little quote, and I can't remember where it was, somewhere on the internet. But it said, and I quote, "It's actually only Frankenstein if the creature was created in the Frankenstein region of France. Otherwise, it's a sparkling monster." I just found that extremely funny. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, it's just a sparkling monster.
Okay.
Got to protect the name all the time. So, we got a few things to talk to you about tonight. Something that was on the calendar that's coming up here. I think it's next weekend. Yeah, next week is first day of summer. Tomorrow's Flag Day. Get out the flags and fly it. The 14th is June 14th. And so fly the flag day. I read somewhere, too, I can't remember where on that some 14-year-old kid designed the current Stars and Stripes, the ones that we use in 50 states. I don't know how true it is, but it was on the internet. So if it's on the internet, it must be true. So,
kid did what now? He designed the current flag that we have?
Yeah, the flag we have now, the 13 stripes are consistent, but the star pattern. He designed the star pattern now. So, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, it seemed like it would almost be a no-brainer. You wouldn't have to have anybody design it. And, you know, my question is, what other designs failed if something that simple passed? What did the other flags look like? So, but I don't know. It's, again,
Robert G. Heft, the Betsy Ross of America's 50 Star Flag.
There you are.
I did not. In 1958, a history teacher assigned Heft and his classmates at Lancaster High School to each redesign the national banner to recognize Alaska and Hawaii, both nearing statehood. He was 16 at the time, crafted a new flag from an old 48-star flag and $2.87 worth of blue cloth and white iron on. Really? $2.87? And look how many have sold already. Gosh, that's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Replicas, original flag still weigh today. And had to run et cetera. Click here to see all kinds of pop-up ads on your computer. No. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I can't remember where I saw that, but I saw that somewhere, and I'm going, nah. But I guess so. You know, you found it there, too. But, you know,
passed away in 2009, he passed away.
Oh, okay. I didn't read that. I just read that it was, I heard 15-year-old kid designed our current Stars and Stripes. He assigned the class. I want to see some of those other flags. I want to see what those things look like.
Didn't make it.
Really, the ones that didn't make it, really like to see those. You know, stars all around the outer perimeter and stuff like that. I mean, I could just see all these different flag designs these teenagers came up with, yeah. And, yeah.
That was good. From 1958.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some from 1958, yeah.
That would be good. The runner-up.
The runner-up. So many flags in it, or so many stars in it. Something, I don't know. I just I was curious when I read that. I was thinking, what did the losers look like if that was the winner? What did, okay.
Didn't know.
So there you go. There it's World Flag Day, and you can remember a young man, 16 years old when he invented it, in 1958, did you say?
1958, Robert G. Heft, and he passed away, must have been December 12th, 2009, because they said he passed away yesterday at the age of 67. So, Heft was one of thousands to submit a flag design with alternating rows of five and six stars. Thousands?
I mean... I don't know. Mine is going wild now. What did these things look like? Why did his get picked and not, 999 others? I mean,
It says, I know this is all about wine, but this is fascinating, I think.
It is. It is.
Here it says, his creation earned him a B-. And it says, Heft's teacher later changed that grade to an A after his flag was sent to Washington, D.C. and selected by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. So if he got a B-, like you said, what did the other thousand look like?
That's right. What did the A's look like? I mean, surely somebody got an A for their flag, or did everybody get C's or lower, C-plus and lower?
What did they look like?
A whole bunch of questions here.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
Any of you flag enthusiasts out there, any of you are listening to this and saying, what the hell are they talking about? If you have answers, please.
You know, if the Big Bang Theory was still on, we could ask Sheldon, because didn't he have fun with flags on the show?
Yes, but he had all the fun with flags. That's right. But the show, alas, has been canceled.
Yes.
So sad.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. But that many? What? Wow. Okay.
Thousands. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. My engineer just brought me my wine du jour. My wine du jour. Wine of the day. This is a Bonterra Equinox Red. This is made with organic grapes. It's a 2016 vintage out of California. Okay, you're right. This is supposed to be biodynamic.
It has a
biodynamic symbol on it, which states that that's supposed to be biodynamic. Ooh. So, the Bonterra. It says, twice a year, the sun crosses the celestial equator, resulting in a day and night of equal length, which is coming up next Friday. These occurrences are referred to as equinoxes, and the twin lengths of day and night when they occur are among the many ways nature demonstrates balance. At Bonterra, we strive for similar natural balance in our organic vineyards and in our wines. Equinox Red celebrates this vision, offering subtle notes of juicy red and black fruit matched with a patina of intriguing spice, herb, and oak tones. I paused on that because I didn't think they would put the word patina in there, but they did. It says, vintage bottled by Ventura Vineyards in Hopland, Mendocino County, California. Winery and Grape Certified, California Certified Organic Farmers. But it has the symbol here for being biodynamic. It doesn't say so on the bottle. And I'm beginning to think that biodynamic doesn't carry the weight that it should on the bottle, so they don't put it. They put organic on there. 13.7% alcohol by volume. It is a red wine. It doesn't say the blend. This symbol on the front, California Certified Organic Farmers.
Their website, it says there's a wine enthusiast, February 2019, gave it 90 points, 2016 vintage, editor's choice. And it says Merlot and Petite Syrah are the two main components in this blend. Does that make sense or no?
It does.
And
you
that's
can detect the Merlot in the nose. The Merlot comes out in the nose. So I wonder what percentage. The Petit Syrah gives it the darker color, too. I mean, the Syrah does that. Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
That's good. That's good. It's not real heavy. Not a whole lot of tannins. That's a nice wine. Huh. We got it because it's supposed to be biodynamic. But, you know, I can't say, oh, my gosh, this is great. I'll have to buy biodynamic from now on. You know, it's
not yet.
Not yet, no. Not yet. This is nice, though. It's a nice fruity wine. It's got a lot of fruit in it. It's got that very pleasant. It's bringing out a lot of Merlot on the nose. I mean, you can pick it up there. Not a lot of tannins. Not real acidic either. That surprised me. Very nice though. Fontura Equinox Red. Organic. And I think biodynamic is supposed to be. So. So there you go. My engineer just brought this over to me. Surprised me on it. Good for her. That's why I keep her around. She said something which is best. I probably didn't hear her, so it's a good thing I didn't.
Right.
So. yeah, she said that, and I hate to do laundry. So that pretty much, you know, around the. So, what do we got coming up this week for foods? Let's do our food calendar. Today is Cupcake Lovers Day and National Cucumber Day. So, Cupcake Lovers Day, there's lots of different cupcakes you can pair with wines. Actually, this wine here would probably go good with a strawberry velvet cupcake with some light icing on it. Oh, well. And National Cucumber Day. Cucumber salad. Some people love cucumber salads. I eat them, but I'm not a big fan of cucumber salads. Tomorrow, National Strawberry Shortcake Day. And we happen to pick up some strawberries and ice cream and everything, so we will be celebrating National Strawberry Shortcake Day tomorrow, along with the rest of the country and you. So, dig out your strawberry shortcake. Saturday, Lobster Day. And there's a great day to pair up some wines and lobsters. I've had lobster with about four different types of wines. I've had white wines, I've had sparkling wines, I've had sweet wines, and I had a rosé wine with the lobsters I've had. So they all tend to pair well. So I never had a red wine with it, so I don't think a lobster, well, maybe. It's pretty strong. But Sunday, Father's Day. And so happy Father's Day to you, Mike, while we're here. Father's Day coming up Sunday, and it is also National Fudge Day. So dads tend to like fudge, so make your dad a pot of fudge and serve him some nice Cabernet Sauvignon with it. Monday, National Apple Strudel Day, National Cherry Tart Day. So you've got two of them falling right there, apple strudel and cherry tart. And desserts, dig out the Gewürztraminer they have with those. Tuesday the 18th, National Cheese Makers Day. Cheese Makers Day, that doesn't help us any. None of us are cheese makers. And it's also National Sushi Day. So I've had sushi, but I've never had wine with sushi. I suppose a white wine with sushi would be good. A Sauvignon Blanc would be nice. A Chenin Blanc. Chardonnay? I don't know. Maybe Chardonnay. I don't know. Not Chardonnay. A Riesling, I think, would be well with sushi. But there you go. Then Wednesday is National Martini Day, which is not going to help us pair it with wine very well. Next Thursday, National Vanilla Milkshake Day and National Tapas Day, T-A-P-A-S, National Tapas Day. So that's what's coming up this next week on foods. So enjoy it. Dig out wines to pair with it or experiment and grab some wines and see what you think. If you find a good sushi and wine combo, let me know. I'd be interested in knowing what's out there for a combo of sushi and wine. Like I say, I think a semi-sweet Riesling might be good. But sushi's, well, yeah, probably. I've had sushi that cover the gamut of taste, though, so that's difficult to pinpoint something. Saw something in the paper. I have to share it with you here. Celebrity rosés. If you've been invited to a party with lots of celebrities, bring a rosé. And you can probably find a rosé that matches one of the celebrities. A lot of them are coming out with celebrity rosés now. It's almost, celebrity rosés are almost as prevalent as the pink wine it is itself. The rosé is the most famous, Marivelle from Provence. It's the brand that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt came out with. It was produced in a partnership with the family of Chateau de Pop fame. And it's been a marketing sensation, as they say, since it was introduced in 2012 vintage. They have broken up, but they still remain partners and involved in the winery and in the brand. So they're still there. That's Marivelle. If you're interested in getting a Brangelina wine, John Bon Jovi and his son Jesse Bon Jovi teamed up with the French winemaker Gerard Bertrand to create Hampton Water. It's now doing its second vintage. It's a father-son collaboration that came about when they were vacationing one summer in the Hamptons of Long Island and was downing some pink juice, or rosé wine, as they say, as if it were water. And youngest Bon Jovi said, "I told my father this is not pink juice, it's Hampton water." And hence the legend was born. They called it Hampton water, made their own wine of rosé wine, calling it Hampton water. Isn't that cute? When you got lots of money, you can do stuff like that. Singer-songwriter John Legend also has entered the winemaking game. He partnered up with Jean-Charles Bosset, who is the owner of Raymond Vineyards in Napa, and several other wineries in California, and Bosset's native Burgundy. Big partnership here. Legend's Vineyard exclusive wines are primarily from Napa, but the line includes a rosé, a sparkling pink from southern France, and two vintages in the works right now. So there you go. There's all sorts of celebrity rosés out there, and I am sure there will be others. And not only celebrities, but I'm sure athletes can open up their own wineries and stuff like that. I haven't heard about a whole lot of athletes doing it. They got the money, but I guess they're not into that as much as the celebrities are. So there's your latest on the rosés. Another sip of wine here. That's nice. I like that. Very, thank you. Got interesting little bit here. Let me go find it. I know it's here. First, before I go into stories of the day, wineries. What the wineries are doing around, what they have to offer and all that. Amazing Grace Winery. Amazing Grace Winery is located in Chazy, New York. At 9839 Route 9, Chazy, New York. 518-215-4044 is the phone number. And they have, coming up in a couple of days here on the 14th, actually tomorrow, geez, today's 13th, isn't it? Yeah, 14th is tomorrow. At 6:30 p.m. in the Pavilion, they have Wine Down Friday. And they will be featuring barbecue and smoked pulled pork tacos, roasted riblets, barbecue chicken, some Italian favorites, a bunch of delicious sides, and all sorts of stuff. It's a Daddy Day celebration a couple days before Father's Day. So if you're interested, get a hold of them, mary@amazinggracewinery.com. And if, again, they're located in New York, so if you're in that area, then a good chance to do some celebrating with wine there. Castle Ridge Winery, they're located in Iowa at Lytton, Iowa, this southeast of Des Moines. They have a Father's Day celebration coming up also on Father's Day. Just the special events with dad, giveaways and stuff like that. So check them out on Father's Day. They'll have their wine and wood fired oven pizza Friday and Saturday leading up to it, 14th and 15th. And tonight, wine and taco night there, so you still got time to get there for that. And then coming up on the 21st and 22nd, they will have a winery is the place to be for a wine dinner and mystery. They're having a mystery night. Bullets in the Bathtub is the name of the mystery. That's coming up in a week. So give them a call, 641-672-9463, or you can go to Tassel Ridge. Let me see. Let's pop up here. info@tasselridge.com. So just Tassel Ridge, info@tasselridge.com. And check that stuff out. Whispering Oaks again. What does this say? This is more information. No, it says you need to get your reservations in. Sunday the 16th, Tassel Ridge Winery will be doing their official Father's Day. On Tassel Ridge, what I'm talking about. Whispering Oaks will be doing their official Father's Day celebration. They're located in Oxford, California. Oxford, Florida. Why do I always say California with that? Oxford. It's Oxford, Florida. Just west of the Villages, north of Tampa. They are having their Sunday the 16th, noon to 4, live music and barbecued ribs and chicken, coleslaw, fresh corn on the cob, jack beans, fresh baked cookies. Only $16.95 per person. Tax and gratuity not included. For Father's Day, 9 to 4, Sunday the 16th. Need to get a hold of them. You can call them at... I have no idea. There's no phone number right there. You can call them at 305-484-2370. I'm sorry, that's the wrong number. Oh, that's for another off-site event. I read the wrong one. You can call them at 352-748-0449 or visit them at info@winesofflorida.com. And you can get on their Father's Day celebration also. And the next one we have here, Otambus Creek. if you do not have are not receiving the blog from Tablets Creek, sign up for it. It really is interesting. This month it talks about the wines of the Pope and different wines that they've had at the Vatican over the years and different ones there. Very interesting little article. Easy read. Check out info at tablets, or table, I think it's tablets, TABLASCREEK, tablescreek.com, info at tablescreek.com, and you can get your blog on that. Always interesting blog. And let's see, Amazing Grace here. This is just a reminder one here. Yes, it is. And I believe I got I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So check out your local wineries this Father's Day. A lot of them are having things going on for Daddy Day, and they have all sorts of interesting stuff happening and specials and daddy specials. I mean, even if it's your local winery doesn't have a big meal or something, most of them will have a daddy special, excuse me, where, you know, dads get a free tasting with a paid one, stuff like that. There's all sorts of things going on. So you can check that out this week and find out what's going on at your local wineries. All right. Article here. It's just the one. I believe it is. Yes, it is. Interesting article here. I found how the modern champagne bottle was created. Oh, before I forget it, a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week? Last week I talked about corks and all the different corks. Got an email from a listener and asked me, what is my favorite cork? And thank you for the email, by the way. What is my favorite cork? You know, I have popped open wine from just about every cork out there, except for a couple of them I haven't used. In fact, I might have mentioned that during the, as I was going through the different ones. And I've drank wines from the range of corks that are available. And because I'm drinking them young, I don't see much of a difference. I lean toward the cork, the classic cork, simply because I was raised on the cork. That doesn't mean that it's better, it's just that I like it, and I just like the feel of it coming out of the bottle and stuff like that. I am aging wine. I've got my wine refrigerators full of wines, and I'm aging wines, and they all have corks. I seek that if I'm going to age. I'm not doing any experimentation with any other types of corks. The winery used corks, a press-style cork, but it's still cork. It wasn't the Zork or the plastic or filament or any of that stuff. We actually used corks there, and that was for convenience sake. Not that we didn't try the stuff, but we didn't use screw caps, Delvins, or anything. And I lean toward corks myself, just a regular cork. That doesn't mean that I will not drink a wine if it is not corked. If I'm going to have a wine for any aging purposes, I look at the cork. And if I'm going to take a wine to somebody that has a little bit of knowledge, I will look for one with a cork. But otherwise, let's face it, they all end up tasting the same. You're going to drink them soon anyway, so it's really not critical and that important how the wine is closed. It's just, get a nice wine that you're going to enjoy. So that's, thank you for the email, but, I'm probably disappointing in saying, yes, I'm a big fan of this. I would lean toward corks, but that would be it, just a lean. Excuse me. How the modern champagne bottle was created. Well, we all know about the bottle and all that stuff. And, there's cellar masters at one time in history used to wear iron masks to save their faces from exploding glass bottles. It was not a good thing. I mean, they would explode. They weren't made to hold the pressure that was in the glass bottles. So I found this article, and it's not real long. I'm going to read most of it to you all, editorialize like I always do on just about everything. From Germany's Black Forest is well known for its wine, its gastronomy, and dark, grim Brothers tales. As you well know, the Brothers Grimm did a lot of the stories about the Black Forest. Far less known is the story of how local glassmakers created the modern champagne bottle from the Black Forest. George Christian von Kessler, his quest to create a non-breakable fizz bottle came about after his first disastrous 1826 vintage of German sparkling wine. 4,000 bottles, about half of his production, exploded. Oh my gosh, that would create a disaster. As an aside, I had one of the wines I made quite a few years ago started to do a second fermentation in the bottle. And that's what champagne does. Champagne is a bottle fermentation. And I had a wine that started to do a second fermentation in the bottle. And it was not a good thing. I don't think I had any exploding bottles, although Sister Winery in South Florida, Eden Vineyards at the time, did. They had a couple of customers who had wines explode on them. Obviously, they cleaned the mess and paid for the disaster, but I didn't have any wines bottles explode on me. I did have some corks that came out, and I took the whole vintage and pulled all the corks out and dumped it and remixed it, and then got the fermentation out, added some SO2 and different things and balanced it out. But it can happen. It can happen if you're not careful to any vintage. So it's an issue, particularly with champagne, because you're trying to get those bubbles in there, and those bubbles create oxygen, and oxygen will apply pressure to the bottles or to the cork, and it'll push it right out. So, Kessler had acquired the art of champagne production while visiting at Vevey Cloquet, I believe it's pronounced, Ponsardin in Rheins, where he became the lover of owner, Barbie Nicole Cloquet Ponsardin, the Cloquet widow, and a director of the company. Upon his return to Germany in 1825, he established Kessler, the first German sparkling wine cellar in Esslingen, 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 I guess it's pronounced. He then traveled to Baalbek Glassworks in the remote Biersbrunn Valley of the Black Forest. At the time, cellar masters were known to wear iron masks to protect them from shattering glass. But it was here where glassmaker factory owner Johann George Bollringer and his colleague Franz K. Klump created the modern champagne bottle called the Bullbacher Schlegel. That's it. Buhlbacher. Bullbacher Schlegel. 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 Which would become the industry standard bottle. This bottle could withstand pressures of 6 atmospheres, equivalent to the pressure of about 5 kilograms of weight on every square centimeter of glass, created by the second fermentation in the bottle. The Bullbacher Schlegel bottle's innovative feature was the Stolbolden. S-T-U-L, and the U has the little umlaut mark above it. S-T-U-L-P-B-O-D-E-N, Stolbolden, which is a pint of inverse indentation created to strengthen champagne bottles, allowing more even distribution of pressure. This design led to the end of flat glass bottles. Without the Bulwarker Schlegel bottles, Kessler would probably not have been able to become a pioneer in sparkling wine production in Germany. Glassmakers and Bulwark use a new pressure-proof glass and a novel punt in the bottom of the bottle. They produce the bottles as a 1 liter and a half liter bottle, but also bigger sizes. The bottles were always green to protect the champagne from light and sun. This is explained by Tina Emar, who is the manager of Kessler Archive. The quality of the Bulwarker Schlegel bottles were so high that many producers in France ordered them to fill up their champagne. In his book, The Bulwark Glassmakers, 1721-1909, Otto Conrad recounts how the composition of the bottles remained a secret at the time. They did not feature in the company archives. Glassmakers blew as many as 350 champagne bottles in a shift, about 40 per hour. By 1856, the Bulwark Glassworks had unbelievable quantities of orders for champagne bottles. One part of Europe was starving, the other part was drinking champagne, writes Conrad. Exported to Australia, Hungary, and Russia, it is estimated that about 100 million Bulwarker Schlegel bottles were produced up until 1909. So there you go, little history on the champagne bottle and how it was originally invented and made. The Gebrüder Bollinger Bottle Works, our glass works, started that. I found it interesting. I thought you would too. Okay, now let's get out of this and go to my next thing I want to talk about here, which is Missouri. And this is a good segue into this too. As it loads. Officials warn public of exploding wine bottles from Eldon Winery, located in Missouri. Eldon Winery. Some bottles of wine from the Eldon Winery, from an Eldon Winery, are at risk of exploding, Missouri safety officials say. Now, it says an Eldon Winery, so I looked up Eldon Winery. The one that I found the closest to it was Shawnee Bluff Vineyard. And it was, well, I think pretty much right there, the one that they're talking about. Shawnee Bluff Vineyard is, let's see, my machine is not working real fast this evening. There we go. Shawnee Bluff Vineyard and Winery is located in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, in Eldon, Missouri. Let's see. Shawnee Bluff Winery, Shawnee Bluff Vineyard, and Riverbird Winery. I guess they're all the same. But the Shawnee Bluff Winery is located in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, whereas the vineyard is in Eldon, Missouri, and it looks like the fermentation and all that's done there, and that's what is exploding. They have a lot of events coming up. I'm just looking at the winery site here, and they got a lot of stuff coming up. But the wines are exploding. The Missouri Division of Alcohol and Tobacco Control, or the ATF, ATC, is warning the public that at least six different types of bottled wine made by Casa de Loco may explode or be immediately secured and should be immediately secured to prevent injury. It's according to a press release from the Highway Patrol. Highway Patrol. The wine should not be consumed, they say. The Highway Patrol put out a press release not to consume your wine. In addition to a bottle of Casa de Loco wine exploding after being confiscated by the ATC, there have been several additional reported explosions of Casa de Loco wine bottles, according to a press release. The wines are applesauced, Bellini Gold, Coming in Hot, Kona Lover Port, OCD, and Peachy Thoughts. Coca de Loco never submitted these wines to ATC for product brand restoration, which includes review and product evaluation as required by the Missouri law. Uh-oh. They are in a heap of trouble now. A heap. The issue was found during a routine inspection by ATC. After confiscating unregistered wine that was being distributed, a bottle exploded in an ATC evidence storage room. Well, they probably had it in a hot room. I mean, let's give some, you know, leeway here, some credit to the fact that they probably didn't know what they were doing. I got to close a pop-up here because it's going to start talking. When the ATC contacted retailers, it learned of additional explosions as well as Casa de Loco wine bottles spontaneously breaking and leaking. The unregistered wines have been distributed to retailers in a list of cities here. I'm not going to list them all because, well, if you're in that area, look it up. You need to know. If you're not, you don't care. The wines may also have been distributed directly to consumers by the winery. So we were just talking about champagne and exploding. I said they have an issue here too. And more than likely, that's from the fact that it's fermenting again. I mean, the sugars are still in the bottle and they start fermenting. And that happens. The sugars will pick up and start fermenting again. And when that happens, it creates oxygen. Oxygen. And oxygen in the bottle is too strong for it and it will explode. So that's what's going to happen. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is currently investigating Casa de Loco for potential health and sanitation violations. Consumers should contain the bottles and store them in a safe location in case they do explode. And if you have any questions or anything, contact not the winery, but the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau section in Missouri, or possibly the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in Missouri also. Any of those can help you. Or you can contact a winery, which I would. If it were me, I'd contact the winery. They'd probably apologize and replace it. But that's what happens. That's why champagne bottles had to be invented. That stuff will get out of hand and will cause all sorts of problems. All right, let me see here. Is there something else on this one I wanted to talk about? No. All right. Next we have here. Last week, I gave you the bad news of a couple of drinks of wine a week could cause cancer. I know. We are all still upset about that, still shaking our heads about that, and it is rightfully so. We should be. But, to make every one of us feel better, and so that we can all, again, raise, oh, come on, computer, so that we can all, again, why did it do this? Why does it do this? I don't want or need to try CBS All Access. Actually, I've already done it. Okay, there we go. Wine kills germs that cause sore throats and dental plaque, says the study. All right, there you go. Now, after hearing that it can cause cancer, this new study has came out and said that we don't have to worry about that because it will stop us from having bad breath and make us better. Okay, we already know that wine is one of the greatest things in life, regardless of the report that I just read last week, but can actually keep us from getting sick. Wine is a fantastic disinfectant for bad mouth germs. Just another reason to keep drinking, all right? You don't have to say, excuse me, I just had a glass of red wine. Excuse me, I just had a glass of red wine. Way back when, in 1988, a study examined the antibacterial properties of carbonated drinks, wine, beer, skim milk, and water, and each beverage was infused with infectious bacteria like Salmonella, E. coli, and Shigella. Whoa, that's a serious study there. I'm glad I wasn't part of that. The wine had the least amount of live bacteria after 2 days, meaning it's actually an effective disinfectant and bacteria cannot survive in it. So with this in mind, researchers more recently conducted another study to determine why and how wine has such antibacterial properties. And guess what? They found that it specifically fights germs in the mouth that cause dental plaque and sore throats. You don't need to gargle with salt water. Gargle with wine. You already heard gargle with salt water to make your throat feel better. In the study published on the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, researchers discovered that the acidity and alcohol concentration in wines is not what is responsible for the antibacterial properties, as was previously believed. It's due to the number of organic compounds found in both red and white wines. So it's not just red wines either here. I mean, so often do we hear red wines are the ones that are so good for us, and red wines are the ones we should be drinking because that's so good. But here you're saying that red and white both contain the antibacterial properties that is responsible for the combating plaque and sore throats. The researchers isolated the compounds, which were lactic, malic, succinic, and tartaric acids, and after neutralizing their acidity, found that they kill 99.9% of dental bacteria and germs that cause sore throats. Wow. You know, take that, you know, causes cancer study. Could have came back up and done this one on the mouth and been better off. Exposure to wine has a persistent antibacterial effect, the authors said. Red wine is better at killing bacteria than white wine, but not by much. Not by much at all, just, you know, a small percentage. Another study from 1998 tested the effects of red wine on Salmonella and compared it to a disinfecting solution containing the same alcohol concentrations and acidity level, and found that red wine is better at killing the bacteria than the solution. And again, the acidity was the primary disinfectant and not the alcohol. So, if you have a little tickle in your throat, don't be getting out the salt water and gargling with salt water. Grab yourself a glass of wine, and that's going to probably do you more good than the salt water will. Yay! So, you know, I try to keep y'all happy out there. Last time I read you about how bad wine was and how it will cause cancer. Well, this is just the opposite. This is going to be good for you here. So dig out the red wine. I was so happy to find that article. All right. The next one I wanted to share with you is just a couple other things here. Color of wine. It, so many wines have so many colors, and so many of the same wines have so many colors. Red wine color comes from the skin. We know that. It's the color in wine comes from a pigment called anthocyanin. And anthocyanin is present in other fruits, plums, blueberries, cherries. And the pigments in red wines come from the skin. So by soaking the skin in the juice, the anthocyanin is released and it stains the wine. That's basic. You know, everyone knows that. It's just a very, you know, basic thing. But the hue in the wine, different wines will release more color, more anthocyanins, and will create a darker or lighter wine. Wines with more red color hue have a lower pH, usually. There's exceptions to every rule, so these things I'm reading you here are pretty true, but there are exceptions to just about every rule. So wines with more red-colored hues have a lower pH, but they usually have high acidity. Wines with violet-colored hue range from around 3.4 to 3.6 pH on average. And wines with a more bluish tint, magenta, if you will, are usually over 3.6 pH and possibly closer to 4 on pH, and they have lower acidity. So if you're looking at keeping the acid out, a lot of people do because indigestion. I know my engineer here will pick up acid in wines in a heartbeat. Once you taste it, she goes, oh, that's so full of acid. So that's why I always mention acid whenever I taste the wine, because sometimes it's doing it. Variables exist, but the above is generally true, what I just read to you here. Some examples, Malbec is highly tinted red wine, which is soft on. It's often a magenta or blue color in the glass, whereas Sangiovese is a bright red and more spicy and high acid. So a couple of good examples. The red wine boldness chart, you can pick those. You can find that online. Just type in red wine boldness chart and you'll get possibilities, and it shows you colors from the lightest all the way up to the darkest and gives you an idea of the boldness. Again, the higher, the darker the color, the higher the acid, whereas the lighter the color, the lower the acid, usually. So, color will and does make a difference. There are color charts out there, color wine posters you can pick up. There's different places. Just color of wine posters, punch that into your search engine, and you will find a lot of different ones. If you find one, be sure they do free shipping, because a lot of them will do it. Don't be paying an outrageous amount for shipping. But color in wine, it runs the gamut. And it all comes from the pigments of the skin, the anthocyanin. Okay. Let me go to something else here. And this, I just wanted to mention this because it's so true. Pinot Noir. We all know the Pinot Noir. It's this article here says it's a miracle grape. Pinot Noir can be used for just about anything. It can make a red wine, a rosé wine, a white wine. It's used a lot in champagne, actually. As a white wine, Pinot Noir will come out with a baked pear, or I'm sorry, baked apple aroma, ginger, a little bit, orange zest, just a honey type aroma. The red Pinot Noir gives you more of a cherry, raspberry, mushroom, a good mushroom, not a stinky mushroom, and a clove aroma. And rosé Pinot Noir tends to pick up the cherry, plum, rose, or rhubarb nose. And again, we're talking same grape here. And last, the sparkling Pinot Noir. Are the used a lot in the Blanc de Noir. White cherry, lemon, ginger, and rose on the nose of that. So, Pinot Noir, quite a versatile grape, used extensively in all those different areas. You don't see as many white Pinot Noirs out there as you would think, but they're out there. Other grapes also give you all the four potentials, but Pinot Noir, probably the Gamay, Grenache, Zinfandel, Nebbiolo, Mencia, Sangiovese, those are all very versatile grapes also. But the Pinot Noir being probably the most versatile of all, because you're going to find that all the time, everywhere, in all sorts of different grapes. Okay. And, well, as soon as I get it back here, I will. What is this one? Okay. All right. My screen just disappeared on me, so that takes care of that there. Let's see, there's one other thing I want to say. Give me a second, let me find this other thing here. And I wanted to mention that as soon as I can get this up here. And I will take a second to drink another sip of my wine. I needed that. That's why you were there. Yeah.
Little lounge music as you step back to the bar and another refill. There you go.
Another soup for my wine. Why is it? Okay, here. I think this is what I want. Yes, this is just a quick thing here. Decanting wines. I'm not a big fan of decanting. I just, most of the time, I think the wines, if you decant them, you're going to start taking away. I'm not a fan of decanting. Some people say it's required. I had a friend of mine in California many years ago said that you really should let every wine breathe at least 45 minutes before you drink it. I've never been a big fan of that. Here's an article that says that you should be decanting every wine. Red wines, they say 20 minutes to 2 hours. White rosés up to 30 minutes. Sparkling, 30 minutes. And other styles, depending on which you are, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. See, that to me, when you start decanting, I think you're losing some of those tannins and the acids and stuff like that, which I like. I like a wine to tell me it's got that in it. And when you decant it, it mellows that stuff. If you're going to decant, just age it a little bit. I've had some very old wines that you had to decant, and they had to breathe, and I made a mistake of having one that I did not decant and breathe, and it was horrid. And the next one I let it decant and breathe, and I was thrilled. It was so good. So, but light-bodied wines, a Pinot Noir, Gamays, Beaujolais Gamay, stuff like that, 20 to 30 minutes. This suggests medium wines, Grenache, Zinfandel, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Malbec, Barbera, Sangiovese, Chimpernel, 30 to 60 minutes. It says here, Cabernet Sauvignon, Nebbiolo, Tannat, Petit Sirah, Malverde, Tarango Nacional, all those full-bodied red wines, 60 minutes plus to decant. Now, I'm saying this for all you decanting fans out there. This is what they're suggesting. Again, I am not one to decant. Do yourself an experiment. Buy yourself two bottles of wine. don't get anything less than $15 by any means. Get something from the $20 range. Two of the same thing. Decant one of them and don't decant the other one. And take a look. Do your own taste. So, you know, and find out for yourself. I seldom decant because I'm not a fan of decanting. So I just don't do it. So, but I wanted to let you, you know, I saw this online before I lost it. I wanted to point it out to people about decanting.
Well, for me personally, I'm not waiting 30 to 60 minutes before I can have a sip or drink a glass of wine. Is that what they're suggesting?
That's what they're suggesting.
Decant it and then wait.
Hmm.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I know. That's, mm-hmm. you know, and I like the wines. I like my wines with a boldness. Decanting aerates the wine. If I want to aerate mm-hmm. my wine, I will swirl it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to aerate my wine a lot, I'll pour it from one glass to another. That's the same thing as decanting and waiting. If it is too strong, if I want to aerate it down a little bit, then not only will I swirl it, I'll, you know, pour from one glass to the other and stuff like that. But to let it sit there in a decanter for a period of time, to me, is, I know.
Mm.
So... Again, there's people who swear by decanting, and that's great. And like I said, I have had wines that really, it was an older wine, very good wine, and it needed to be decanted. And the difference of it not being decanted and waiting like an hour to the one that was decanted or was not decanted was night and day. I was... absolutely shocked at the difference, but I've never found that big of a difference in just regular wines. It's never happened to me. So,
And restaurants don't decant. I mean, if you go to the places like Burns Steakhouse and you order a wine or something, they're not going to decant it, are they? They're just...
No, they will if you ask them to, I believe. They'll go forward and let you do it. But, it's like, when I order a wine with the meal's going to be coming out there. You're going to be going up to the dessert room. They're going, here's the wine that you asked to be decanted for an hour. And you're going, oh, okay, thanks.
Right.
So, like I used to tell people, if you want a wine that's lighter and fruitier that you're going to get from decanting, buy yourself a wine that's lighter and fruitier. That's just how I look at it. I mean, you can go out and buy yourself a wine that costs $40 and you want to decant it for 45 minutes before you drink it. Well, buy yourself two $20 wines that's going to give you the lightness and fruitiness that you're striving for, and you'll have two bottles instead of one and drink it as soon as you open it. And I know there's going to be people out there that's going to argue with me about all this, but, there are a few times that you should decant, but overall, open your wine and drink it. That's really, one other thing here before we go, is calories in wine. People always ask me about calories in wine and, calories matter. Yeah, there's calories in wine. Okay. Alcohol by volume, 9%, you're going to get about 72 calories to a dry wine, 100 calories to a sweeter wine. When you start jumping up to the higher alcohol by volume levels, say 12, 13%, you're looking at 100 calories, 120 calories for a dry wine, and up to from 125 to 150 for sweet wine. That's 5 ounce serves. That's what I'm talking here on average, 5 ounce servings. Most red wines are low on carbs. You don't really have to worry about carbs. Excuse me. They are. Wine has about 120 calories per average 5-ounce serving. It's mostly water, a little bit of alcohol, and then other stuff that is in the glass. Men should have 2 drinks and women should have 1. That is the recommended amount, 5 ounces. Moderate means 1 glass a day or 2 for men, and that's it. And if laws pass that state that you will be found intoxicated at what they're looking at, 0.05, that is 1 drink for women and 1 drink for men of wine. That's 12% alcohol wine, which is, you know, you want to scream just thinking about that. But, so, calories in wine aren't really that much. In fact, a lot of your Weight Watchers and other diet plans will allow you to have a glass of wine a day, some, 2. The points, I don't know if Weight Watchers are still doing points, but points for wine was reasonably low. I think it was only like a 1 point for whites and 2 for some of the reds. But if you're looking for calories, you can cut yourself out something else and still have yourself a glass of wine and not really affect your diets if you're on that. And the carbs are reasonably low, and the residual sugars are actually counted as calories, so you don't have to worry about how much sugar is in it. And those who are diabetic, a lot of people come into the wine room asking about sugars in wine, asking about, you know, how much residual sugar because they're diabetic. And you got to remember, if you are diabetic, the alcohol in the wine metabolizes into sugars into your system. That's really what's going to affect you more than the residual sugar. So watch your alcohol levels in your wine if you're diabetic, if you're really concerned. I am, and it doesn't affect me a whole lot. It'll raise it up about, you know, 10 points after a glass of wine, but that's about all. So there you go. That's a little informative session tonight.
Still typing.
Still typing. Well, this coming Sunday, Father's Day, so all of you daddies out there, future daddies to be, granddaddies, stepdaddies.
Yeah. And thank you daddies. Earlier for the Happy Father's Day. Oh. Same to you as well. Happy Father's Day, Sunday. And if you're all are out and about, be safe and enjoy the day. It's all about Father's Day.
All about Father's Day.
Yes.
Yeah,
Mother's already had
on Mother's Day, the restaurants are packed. You can't get into a restaurant on Mother's Day.
That's true.
I don't think that's the case on Father's Day. Father's Day, I mean, you go down to the grocery store, you buy yourself a chunk of steaks and throw it on the grill.
Because,
Daddy's happy with
that. Not only that, but, McDonald's is fine for me. I mean, you know, I don't care.
I mean, go to Arby's.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's high value there. That's like the real stuff.
That's
but I'm just saying, it's not Mother's Day. You gotta do the whole. You gotta go all out. I mean, you know, that's an expensive day.
Yeah,
we're easy. We're like, you know, like you said, get a couple of steaks and throw them on the grill. Perfect. That's all we need.
Perfect.
That and some time in front of the TV or whatever. I don't know. Just it's an easy day for us. People who celebrated for us.
That's right.
Perfect.
Yeah. So all of you out there are trying to rack your brain what to do for dad.
Mother's Day is usually start the week or two before the actual Mother's Day, and it leads up to Mother's Day.
Start advertising and all this stuff. Start saying, give this bump and, you know, going, hey.
That's it.
It's awesome. That's it.
Yeah. Mother's Day, here's your jewelry, here's your presents, here's the whole party bit, and let's go to a fancy restaurant. Yeah.
If we can get reservation. Well, this is the easy one for all you.
This is the one. Anyway, thank you. And so, have a great weekend. Have a great week. Thank you for tuning in. I wonder if they're actually tuning in before Father's Day, or if they're going to listen to it after Father's Day on the archives.
I don't know. We get a lot of afters.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you all next Thursday, which is going to be the, and I'm just guessing here, the 20th.
You're right.
Thursday, yeah. The 20th. I looked on the calendar. I can't guess. The 20th of June, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's All About Wine. And be sure to check out the website, allaboutwinebtr.com, for more information. And if you want to be a guest or want to refer somebody to become a guest, that's the website to go to. All that information is there. So,
well,
thanks again.
Subject you want to talk about, email us. Let us know.
Yeah.
We'll address that too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Do that. Use the website. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all next
time.
Thank
you for tuning in.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.